Yeah,
I don't know if you saw the Facebook photo I posted, but it was just way in the distance.
Oh, your kid running around. Yeah.
Just this tiny little speck of a human just bolting across someone else's lawn, just free like the wind. And you're like,
not a care in the world.
You go, man. You go. Oh, I'm just trying to imagine the school, like when he's got to like sit in class calmly.
Oh, yeah. It's weird in school, though, because they're almost like different kids. We get a report like with the teacher and they're like, he's calm, he sits quietly, he listens. I'm like, who? My kid is not the one you're talking about. I'm not sure.
Yeah, what is this? What is a sheet of lies? I'm like, I live with this guy. I know what he's about.
Exactly. I know you can do this. You better listen at home. So different.
What are you talking about? Blah, he runs at the front door.
Exactly.
Just jumps through the screen.
Yeah.
There he is.
Kool-Aid man just at the wall.
Perfect kid shape below. The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 2-year-old and another on the way.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 6.5-year-old and a 4-year-old.
The only half of that, though, were just the days. So Jeff's kid, I saw a post on from Jeff saying, kid goes to camp. And in my mind, it was the 3-week, 2-week, just
overnight
like
cast camp kind of thing.
Yeah, at least like there's like the week camps, which I think must be massive for parents. So as soon as they can do that, just away you go, kids. Like that was.
Yeah, not so much. No, it's more like you need to fill the void of summer with camp, and it's just basically daycare during the day at a place, and they call that camp. So no, he was only away for I think 8 hours, but it felt like a vacation. Being a stat holiday and having just one kid, so he was great, but no, just one day, not overnight.
And as I was saying at the beginning of the show, like that's like daunting to me because like having no kid now feels like a vacation, and it's like as soon as you have two,
yeah,
having one is like a vacation. like that sliding scale of comfort level. It's like, oh, now I'm just miserable. This is wonderful.
Yeah, I don't remember my past life, which is now your life. So just wait, and then you won't remember your former self. You'll be like, yeah, one kid. This is great.
We should really have a scale of dads. Like someone's about to become a dad. Someone with three kids.
Right.
Just like, yeah. And the best part is like my scale of like my fantasies has dropped so dramatically. I was walking through the park. And there's this guy with the whole family, and there's just a guy sitting on a bench drinking a coffee.
Right.
And it's just like, man, that looks like how fantastic is that? He's just there.
No, I'll lower the bar even. I remember when my kids were toddlers and I couldn't go to the bathroom without somebody banging on the door or asking for me. So if I could just go to the bathroom in peace.
That's like, what a wonderful vacation.
Yeah, great.
So, Jeff, how was your week in fatherhood and gaming?
Fatherhood. Fatherhood. Was pretty good. We went to the ROM, the museum in Toronto. So we had took the family down there. It was packed with stuff like dinosaur bones and Egyptian mummies and ancient Greece. And they had this blue whale exhibit. So we got to see like this whole mishmash of stuff. And the kids ran around the museum like all the other crazy kids. But it was good. They seemed to like it. They seemed to behave enough for it.
Is the museum like set up, like is it very much like kid friendly where they're not going to break anything? Just
like everything's either behind glass or like nailed down. So like you can't go and destroy anything. You're pretty safe that way. And there's like bouncers in every kind of room. But yeah, they've never seen a skeleton of a dinosaur up close. So they were kind of in awe of some of the larger dinosaurs that they know about on Dinosaur Train.
That skeletons. Stupid. Dinosaur Train, God, that's awful. That's an awful show.
Right, when they mix all the eras of dinosaurs into one, like they all existed at one time. Whatever.
They're just getting, like, all the varying dinosaurs are just getting along, and it's like, that's not...
No, that didn't happen.
You are mortal enemies. I'm not even sure you're supposed to be together. Like, you're probably from different times. Then you're time traveling, English talking,
yep.
Train ride, which...
Yeah. Again,
it's happy to dispel some... Like, look, it's a kid show. Like, you're going to... Some fantasy stuff, great.
Yeah.
It feels so lazy sometimes, man.
Like, no. Like, Land Before Time, I think, was a little bit more realistic. Do you know what I mean? Like, they had the mother's death right off the bat, but you know what I mean? Like, it injected that mortality, like, the world is not a safe place.
Well, it was like, you know, man, I wonder if that one's even accurate.
I'm trying to think. No, it wasn't, but, like, at least it was more so that they weren't all hopping on a train together, getting tea and eating salad and stuff.
Solving crimes.
But, yeah, no, so it was great. The only thing they took back with them, though, like we usually ask, you know, what was your favorite part of today at the end of the day? That's kind of our roundup. And they mentioned ancient Greece and all the missing penises. That was their...
Where did they go? Where could they be?
That was it. And... the ROM seemed to like that. I tweeted them, and they seemed to like that tweet. So,
like, what hashtag penis conspiracy?
Where,
like, are they, ROM? Why are you hiding from us?
Come on, they don't care about the dinosaurs on the train, but they care about these missing body parts. So, no, that stuck in their mind. But no, it was pretty good. Everyone kind of behaved. So, it was an exhausting day after that. So we kind of chilled out the rest of the weekend. In terms of gaming, I'm still on Final Fantasy 15. I downloaded Mordor, tried like the first battle, and then back into Final Fantasy 15. I have to finish that one first. I'm stuck on that one.
It's a pretty... Of the two games, like, how... Like, when are you going to finish that? It was like 2020? Like,
oh, yeah, like the target date's way out there. Maybe when the Final Fantasy remake is in play, I will be done those too.
By then,
Witcher, like... level, right? Like 9 months. It'll be 9 months, we'll be done it.
Yeah, this is like, those both could be your games of like 2018, easy. Like, those are just like 15 looked like, the Final Fantasy looks fantastic. Like, that one looks really great. Like, I haven't played one in a while. It'd be great to get into, but it's just so daunting, the size of that thing. Like, how would you possibly find time? Like, I can't, like.
It's, yeah, and it's a lot of things at once. I didn't think I'd like it, just, I don't know, the whole setup was different, like cell phones and I don't know, like, it's a different world. I'm used to the steampunk kind of mythical world, but I don't know, it's so addicting. I go out, there's like hunts you can do, you go hunt a beast, you get a chocobo farm, you do all the chocobo races again. I'm like, oh man, this is gonna take me. I'm only on chapter 3. I hear there's only like 13-14, and I've spent 16 hours in it, so just doing hunt stuff and running around and discovering new food. You can discover recipes that, I don't know, it's part of the game. But I need to find them.
There's so much depth. That's going to be like, and the best part too is especially now we can't, there is no completionist as a dad.
No.
So this is like, that's just a constant torture. It's like, this is one of 100 recipes. Like, well, no.
Exactly. And I'm falling into what you usually do, where you need to go around and kind of like, you know, Batman City, you need to like find the right ones. And maybe this will give me an like leverage in the next battle. So I have to go do that. So I don't know. I need to stop myself soon. Otherwise, yeah, I find myself getting burned out on that stuff. And then I never finish the game. it's left there on the shelf.
I like that you don't stop the activity you don't like. But rather just give up the whole game, like just throw the whole baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah,
just like, we're out, we're done.
Yeah, that's it. All right, next, Mordor, which is even worse.
Oh,
same
yeah,
thing. Just like, it's the same thing.
So like,
anyway, that was me. I'll be stuck on that game for a while. But how about you?
I'll jump into that too, just because I also got Mordor, because it's the universe has been trying so desperately for us to buy this game. It ranted, raved when it came out. Like, it was just such an incredible game. Everyone should get it. And then it drops to like $20, and then it drops to like $10. It's like, it's $5 for the definitive
everything in it.
It's fine.
Yeah,
fine. I will have 2 less coffees this week, and I will get it. Like, it really does look great. It's just, I got it in the backlog. Like, it's there now. Like, I think at some point I think it's going to fit perfectly into my gaming needs at some point.
Yeah.
It'll just be, especially with point. my ticking time bomb of the new baby.
Yeah.
I doubt that's before the new one shows up. So exactly when that would like land is a bit beyond me. Yeah. But in addition, I also got Farpoint, which is a PSVR title.
That's awesome.
In my thinking being, like especially these last few weeks, like things have been just ballistically busy with some school I'm taking, work, like everything else. Fatherhood, of course, babies. Yeah. So the gaming time has really been relegated to call it like 20, 30 minutes a week, even on the worst days. And what's been great about VR, I think I mentioned this last time, is just like it's such a to have that immersive experience be 30 minutes, it turns it into some really quality time.
Yep.
So it's not like you're just pussing around a little bit with like Nathan Drake, which is still a great experience, of course, but just it's not 20 minutes of that. Like you are in a world experiencing something completely nuts. And it keeps it a bit fresh too, because like, you know, you're not constantly doing VR. So it's a bit of newness to it, a bit of, what would you call the novelty? So anyways, with that in mind, Farpoint just looked like unbelievable. Like, so it's very much the VR experience. Like I was going to say it's a system seller, but I'll back that off. A little too much hyperbole. Right. It's the fulfillment of some of the promises of VR that I talked about. It's very much one of the first times in a game, like you're very much plopped into a world. And you're in it,
okay.
And you're walking around, starting to do things. Many of the things are very much on rails, or you're like stuck in the same place, or you know you're in the spaceship within a confined battle area.
Yep.
And ultimately, like there's a path. Like you very much like this isn't completely open world. Like this isn't Skyrim yet, but it's the first time where you really kind of got to explore. And like so, you're exploring, but you're also looking around, and to have all that happen, and then to have what would and a flat screen be very much like kind of a very ho-hum kind of shooter.
Right.
There's these little spider things that come like out of the ground. They jump at you, and to have that actually in front of you is really like, you're thankful it's not more intense, because it's like, damn, like, and so it's been an incredible experience, and I'm happy for it. Cause I'm so cut down from gaming time for this next while, where it's like for the very few moments that I can steal away to do it. Like it's great to have like that kind of experience for it. And it's promising. I'll tell you this has me so stoked for Skyrim.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Like, because again, like that getting in and being able to kind of control your guy, and it's not entirely on rails. Like there's a little bit of that choice, like moving around. The thought of that, but in Skyrim is, I can't.
So would you fathom. Say Skyrim, like a 6-year-old, 7-year-old game or whatever, would be the system seller for VR? Like that would be interesting if it would, you know what I mean? Like if you could sell that experience,
you know,
Skyrim's
you know,
loved, right?
I would think if Elite Dangerous, the space sim, or even like No Man's Sky to a smaller extent, if either of them came out with VR, I think that'd be more the case.
Okay.
Skyrim, it's, that's trickier. The best part is it's $80.
It is
$80.
That's
like, but you guys are milking this damn cow.
It is
like an 8-year-old game, man. Yeah. Like
they probably run on my iPhone by now. You know what I mean? Well, maybe that's next year. Who knows?
Next year's I guarantee it.
$80.
And then you could take like Google Cardboard and just like shove your phone into those headsets, and that's like Skyrim VR for
you. VR, there you go.
But no, this is like Farpoint, if nothing else, it has certainly sold me on Skyrim VR, like that that type of open world, that depth. The thing you're really missing is depth, honestly, I think I'd say with any of these games, right? They're a blast, like it's incredible, it's such an experience, it's the future, blah, blah, blah. But there's nothing you would have sunk like 80 hours into.
Yeah.
Right? Or like you can discover, or you can build yourself or craft yourself and have it. And this, you can see it and you can feel it. And then that, and you project onto Skyrim, and yeah, that's going to be something.
I do think people just need to try it. I think that's the major, like, people can watch commercials all day and be like, meh, but you get it. Like, when I borrowed yours and I was in my rally car, just being there, it was just intense. It was just a whole new world. Like you said, it's just to feel, touch, almost smell it.
Yeah, the driving games might are a little bit closer too to system sellers, as far as, especially if you can get someone like you to try it, or anyone to try it, like you said. Watching my family, watching friends, I've had a few over and put them through the Shark Tank experience.
Right. Like my dad.
The dunk tank. Oh, that's a ride.
So
just great, man. I just like, it's excited to keep going through it. I'm kind of excited to jump back in, whatever little chinking through my little bit of times. Fatherhood. So we had a bit of an unfortunate week. So we ended up back at the hospital. So my dog bit my son, and it caught him right on the face.
Oh no.
So he had these two like huge gashes, like right near the lip.
Yeah.
So we had to go in for stitches. So that was a world of emotion around just how to process it and how to think of it. And I think one of the immediately obviously is like there's a lot of calls to get rid of the dog immediately, which
you know, it's hard as a dog owner. Like I know it's a family member at that point, right? It's
and at the heat of the moment, like I think like that was definitely my kind of thinking on it too. I wasn't like immediately furious with the dog by any means, because like because the context of it, and I think the ultimate realization we came around to is that if there's ever a dog, and the thing is too, like it wasn't an act of aggression, it was an act of defense.
Yeah.
And startlement, I don't know if that's a word, but him being startled.
Yeah.
Because they were all sleeping together, my wife, my son, my dog. The dog was still sleeping, my son got up and he like just basically body slammed him. Just like completely like landed, like slammed, like grabbed his arms around him, like absolutely inappropriate way to touch, like deal with the dog, right? And the dog, it wasn't like, I hate you, I want to attack you now.
Right.
It's almost defense. Defense. Like he just got woken up. He just like, it's defensive, like, and the kid's right on him. And then like, he just kind of snapped on him. And I think it's more like he caught his face as opposed to trying to like, I'm going to like mar this kid's face.
Right. Like a nip, right? Like bite the air. Cause my dog's done that too, where it's been close calls and it's just.
Yeah. So
unfortunate.
That's how I saw it. Like, obviously I'm not like very, not pleased in how he reacted, but I think the honest truth is if he ever went up to another dog and he did that, like that dog would bite him. Like, and it's like, you have a hard time being angry at the dog. Cause it's like, yeah, like if you go up and like punch dogs, like they're going to, get back at you, like it's defense. So I think we've ended up a good place. Like we're gonna definitely keep the dog. So it was like three stitches he had in his lip. We actually just got his stitches out today. We saw went to the Children's Hospital, which again is just like the one we have here in Toronto is fantastic. Really incredible folks, can't praise them enough. Unfortunately, it had to be 8 hours. Well, the thing is like to get the stitches in, we had to put him under. Like, or he had to be sedated. Which, you know, as a parent, like, your sick little thought in the back of your mind is like, I wish I had that stuff at home. It's like, just like, you have to knock your kid out.
Yeah.
But so because of that, they had to get like a respiratory guide. Like, it's just now a procedure, which means it's going to, and it's not ultimately emergency because, like, it had stopped bleeding and he was running around. Like, within, best part is like, within an hour, he's going back at the dog, like, playing with him again. I hate it, but that's also like I'm happy this isn't like life scarring.
Oh yeah, like, okay, yeah.
Now I'm afraid of dogs for the rest of my life. Like he didn't even notice, bounced off.
As happy as a clam.
Yeah, I think the so anyways, it was an 8-hour deal. They gave it in. They got the stitches back in. They, as part of the Children's Hospital, they have a plastic surgeon unit.
So we went
in for a follow up with him, and he said everything looks like really great, really clean. We have a follow up in 2 months just to kind of see how it's continued to heal. If there's anything we do want to do around it, but so this is one of the more pressing things, kind of like a general fatherhood thing where it's actions and situations that happen now could have life effects, like at the age of two. Well,
no, now you get into traumatizing. I get it.
Traumatizing, even just a scar, right? Because like if it was an aggressive dog, if it was a bigger dog and he like really just mangled his mouth, it's like you now live with that your entire life.
Right.
2 year old. Like, yeah. Like you have, you have another 80 to 90 years to go. And this one action on, you know, like a Tuesday will impact you for the entirety of your life.
Right.
So it's like the weight of that was certainly like, could feel it. Like you feel like it's going through all these procedures, just like that's like, this is something that then in many ways, again, like you look at the cuts and they ultimately end up being quite, it's going to be like, if anything, you might see like a little white line there.
Everyone's got one of those. I got one here. Yeah. I think my wife has one on her nose as well.
Yeah. No. So it's certainly not like, so certainly it didn't end up being a big deal, but like you start to think about those things where it's like, damn, like any misstep here could be an entire life of just ramification from like this little moment. So,
but I always think those Telltale games where like my son will remember that. Like, that's where I'm at right now.
Got to be better. So that was, yeah. So, you know, again, kudos to the hospital for incredible work, the kids' hospital here in Toronto, and he's doing great. Dog's doing okay.
Well, let's get it worked out. Like, it's not
nothing too serious. Certainly a scare, too serious, and, but everything kind of panned out. The I was trying to make a transition, but I don't think there's a lot of good. Like, like speaking of scarring mechanics, like
speaking of microtransactions.
You know, sometimes scars are cool. And sometimes you want a scar for your game character. Right. That comes in the form of loot boxes. Loot boxes in games.
Nice. There you go. You pulled it off.
Yeah, mini story version of it. Yeah, no, you brought up the topic of it. I was curious to definitely talk about it because so definitely notable ones being, of course, Overwatch, which I have some experience in, and their loot boxes or loot crates, of which you get new skins, new emotes, generally aesthetic things. And you've mentioned that Battlefront 2 has loot boxes. Yeah.
So what sparked it was I have, you know, gone on the pre-order boat of Battlefront 2.
It's so amazing to me. Can't believe
it. I'm never going to beat the price on the pre-order. I thought my kids are going to love it. It's Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It's Kylo Ren, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so everything's free. They announced everything's free. DLC, maps, everything, which is totally different than Battlefront 1. They charge for that stuff, and they realized, hey, half players get the maps. Half players just don't bother and don't play anymore. So you make everything free. Everyone claps. And then it's come down that they have loot crates available. So people are like, oh God. Like, so I was reading up on it, and apparently from what the rumors are and semi-confirmed information is that they're not cosmetic, or they're not all cosmetic. So that people are worried that it's almost like a pay to win, because you can buy more coins or whatever the currency is to buy more loot crates. And in those ones, they'll have like a legendary item or a rare item or something that will give you a special weapon to maybe beat everybody else in the next map. So that's where I kind of like backed off. I'm like, all right, well, what other games have done this? And obviously Overwatch has come up, but it, like you said, I think it was mostly cosmetic, and maybe you can speak more to that. But with something that is like a pay to win, like I'm even thinking Pokemon Go, right? Technically has loot crates, which are eggs that you walk. You don't know what's in the egg until it hatches, and then your disappointment and tears after walking 10K ends up being...
I'm so healthy and I have nothing.
Right, exactly. And then, like, I haven't paid for that. So it's like, no harm, no foul. I'll just walk another 10 kilometers for another thing. But when it's like a pay to win, or you get the advantage over other people in a way in the game that kind of ruins it, like, I'm not going to pay for my kid to have the best gun to go around and in a map, or a blaster as we call them, and get just killed by all these other players that are not only good, but they have the money to spend to get the best stuff and practice with it. So it was just, it was kind of off-putting. If it was a cosmetic thing, I wouldn't have a problem. That would be kind of cool. You walk around with a red cape or something, you know that that person maybe paid for that or got a good drop. But when it's like a pay-to-win thing, I don't know. I have a hard time paying, you know, $60 for a game and then having to pay on top of that to get the best out of that game.
Yeah, it was one of the biggest issues I had with Battlefront 1, where it was like, it was impossible. By the time, like, it was interesting that the way they did it was like around experience, and they get more experience points, and then when you have an experience point, you can kill faster. And it's like, so as a new player,
reverse. Why would you do that?
Like, like how am I supposed to ever kill anybody if like everyone here is already like a level 50 and like we're in the same map? I'm gonna get just annihilated. So didn't like that one. I'm sure they had microtransactions, but I don't think it was like. No, man. When I say it out loud, I guarantee it was like pay to win. Not that I think about it, but almost in a more natural sense, because like you were not natural in the sense that like at least like if you somehow manage to beat the curve, you become great. You can kill new people very easily.
Right.
Or I suppose if you're a new person, you just go ahead and buy some of the better stuff and kind of give you a jump to get up to that level, and now you're competing at that stage. That almost feels a bit more honest than. Everybody, this random thing, like you could just get the better stuff, and like for somebody who's not going to spend money, the likelihood of them ever getting anything great after already paying a game, like so, if it was, I think about Hearthstone,
right,
where that's a free game, and you can very much do well just playing free. It's either like you get very good at the game, and you craft like decent decks, like you're not going to be able to ascend to like the absolute top ranks with free, generally speaking, but you can also just like grind it out and eventually get like a bunch of money and like purchase it. It can stay free and you can do just fine.
Right.
But if you really want to like get into it and like accelerate yourself, you have to kind of buy the expansion pack so you can play through and then get all the extra cards, or purchase packs, which is kind of like very much like the loot crate where it's random. Like it's not like I will buy that thing, please. It's more.
Yeah. I will buy a chance at getting that thing, which is even, I don't know.
So but like
free to play, right? You're talking.
Yeah,
that's different. I think.
And again, like free to play, and again, like the from everything I've ever seen, like the free experience of it is very much adequate. You could certainly keep free and have a great time, and I think they defend that very rigorously. But I guess that really ends up being the question: is like, will these guys defend the 60, like the full pay version and nothing else? So like if you just bought the game,
right,
play it, are you covered? Is it still gonna be like, or is it like that's the fee to get into the park before you have to buy tickets to get on the rides?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking. You just walk into this theme park and everyone owns this super gun and you just don't have a fun time and you've just burned 60-70 bucks on this new game. You can't have the experience of it where everyone's kind of vying for the same, everyone's on an equal playing field, unless they matchmake it where, you know, those people that have bought or earned those legendary items are playing against each other. But usually it's just a mix, right? You have veterans in with the newbies.
It's just how I like, again, I just have to keep coming back to Hearthstone. I don't know like if it's even possible with a shooter as much as in this kind of like one-on-one card game type of thing, but like how could you, like could they do it for free and then like it's all just based on, because I don't think, like would they be able to just solely make up all their money on cosmetics? I doubt it. So it'd have to be pay to win, but then as a free game, when you get in, are you turned off enough that you would never keep there, so you're cannon fodder for the guy who spent all this money?
Right.
Like, it's a weird balancing. If you had said loot boxes or loot crates and it was cosmetic, like that's a riot. Sure, go for it. Yeah. Like, look, I'm golden Darth Vader. Like, sure, neat. You hit the jackpot. But you got this ultimate gun that like one shot kill and
everything. Yeah, like heat seeking missile or something. But even like on the other side, if you were a person paying money for a loot crate and you don't know what's in it, it's kind of like you can get stuck that way too, where you get a loot crate and maybe it's just all regular things, right? Like there's that chance not to get anything. And doing some research, I'm surprised that China put out a law for Overwatch, I think it was Overwatch, to put out the stats on the loot crates. So what loot crate reveal would, what percentage is that? What percentage is a legendary item? And it's like 3%. So it's like, at least you know that going in and not buying 20 loot crates knowing that, hey, maybe, you know, two of these 20, I'll get something, where it's really not that. It could be zero.
Yeah, I know the, Hearthstone, it was, I think when you buy it, like it promises you at least one rare.
Okay.
So it's still random, but like it's you get one rare card. Rare or better. There's like rare, legendary, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So they at least bounce. You could see something like that, but even still, like it's not cosmetic.
No, it's to win the game. Like it's just. And then I thought like, well, okay, what other games have done that? And I'm even thinking Final Fantasy, right? So there was always a chance where you beat an enemy. I forget, it was like Ultima Weapon or something in Final Fantasy VII, where he might drop this item. And if he didn't drop it, you'd have to reset and do it again, right? Like there was a 5% chance that he would drop this item, where if you got that item, you would just roll through the rest of the game. But that I don't have a problem with, obviously, because I'm not buying anything. I'm not against anybody.
You know that's a microtransaction in the remake.
Yeah, like, yeah, pay $5, you get the draw. Like that's. But I don't know. It seems to be the new thing to do, where they can lower the entry fee to get more people in, and then just ding them, right? Like nickel and dime.
See, it would feel, again, like, and I hate going back to Hearthstone, but it just feels like they've kind of done it right in some senses. Like it's, you know, that if you go up against somebody who's spent like $100 on cards, like the likelihood he's going to have some really powerful stuff you might have trouble dealing with.
Yeah.
The best part, again, is like you have a chance, which is kind of good. But because it's free, it's like, well, I haven't paid anything.
Right. So yeah.
Yes, this is the situation.
Yeah.
But on something that you paid for, it's like, well, I paid 60 and you paid 60, but you paid an additional 60.
Yeah.
Got all this junk. So it's like, well, now we're mismatched. Like, neat. This is fun for me.
And like, as an adult, I can understand what I'm getting into, but like my kids, like when they start getting into these type of games, they might be asking me, you know, for allowance early so they can go buy these new like loot crates. And I'm like, no, it's basically gambling away your money for in-game stuff. Like
that's that is a weird parallel to gambling. Like it's gambling 101 for like young people.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel right, man. Like if it's a reward at the end of the match, here you go. Here's a couple,
yeah,
cosmetic things, fine. But to actually take money and like roll the dice and see, like,
yeah,
like, oh, that feels,
you get, right? Like, yeah, feels again, awful. Like you said, I don't mind if it's like a grinding thing. Like, hey, the more matches you play, the more chances you can get these loot crates that are better and whatever. You put in the time with our game, we're gonna give you something. Where somebody else might spend the money and try and get ahead. But if that game is rated T for teen or something, and you have 14-year-olds or 15-year-olds firing out money, it's like, yeah, there's a little bit.
I'll be honest, it's 8-year-olds.
Like, oh, yeah, of course. Right? The credit card, they're just ding.
Oh, it's just like the hooked up accounts. I just like you see your bank just like dropping. Oh, yeah, no, that doesn't feel good at all. And the worst part, too, is just like it's. I thought they learned their lesson. Like the first one, I think sold pretty well. Like certainly, but I don't know that it was. I don't remember a lot of high praise about how they handled anything.
No, they got like a lot of backlash, and even during the E3, kind of joked on that. Like they kind of called themselves out on it, saying that they kind of fumbled the ball at the end zone and didn't quite make it. So everyone was clapping them praises with free stuff, and then all of a sudden. Hey, you pay to win this. What did you do? You know that it was just some guys like, hey, so how are we going to make more money on this? Because
yeah. You were the chosen one. What happened?
So it was,
of all people.
I don't know. It's threatening. It's threatening the pre-order, I think. I'll have to get a little bit more information. Maybe in the coming weeks, they'll kind of reveal or backtrack. Hopefully that's a thing. But we'll see. I think more games are going to do it, though. I think that's a way for them to get like just constant flow of money. That whether or not they like reinvest for the next DLC or the next map or the next game, it's just a constant cash flow.
I don't want to begrudge them making money. And again, that's just where the cosmetic thing, like,
yeah,
makes a lot of sense. Like, great. Like, look, like it's. I don't necessarily hate microtransactions entirely. Where it's like you want to make some extra, a little bit of extra money. Look, like your studio, if you don't make money, you're not making games.
Yeah.
Like you get it, right? And people are willing to pay, that's wonderful. But I mean, when it sours the experience and everybody dislikes it, like this, like it, it ruins the game. Like, I think the thing I'd heard often in game reviews, I think pins it pretty nicely. It's just when a game is built for microtransactions.
Yeah, like that was the core, right? And the game was built around it. Yeah.
Which, yeah, if the way they're talking about this one, it just starts to feel that way. And it's like, guys, like, come on, it just puts the last one. Like, don't, not again.
Yeah. Do it on the third one. Everyone will, like, reset their memory. They did right by the second.
Or introduce it later, like, the second year. Let people have, like, let people enjoy it. First get their money's worth, and then you can start to mess with it, ruin it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so something like that. I mean, it's only at their certain level, like only when you're into the expert matches do like the good guns come out.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
If you're in matches with people under level 5, like they don't let you use it.
Yeah. <It's> like... Or like balance it, right? Like you keep mentioning Hearthstone. It sounds like it's properly balanced, but a lot of these times where it's like the pay to win, which I think EA is going to screw up with Battlefront, is just, it's overpowered at that point. So you can pay for the best gun and you're just unstoppable, or a shield and no one can kill you. And probably like relating it to more Hearthstone, like at least you have a chance against somebody like that, or they're not the matchmaking is correct where you're kind of against your own.
Yeah. Or you can grind it. Like it's you know, you can clearly see the money making, like how it's trying to make money.
Yeah.
They do some soft like sells on it and you're just like, yeah, like that.
Sure.
You're a studio. That's I get it, but
yeah.
I'm in it. I'm in for free. So like
Nope, click X. Nope. Not gonna pay you today.
It had gotten me some of my money. Like I had bought one expansion, which is a blast. Like it was fantastic. Like I top to bottom, I enjoyed it. Yeah. Kind of like a story mode you get to do as opposed to just playing other people.
Okay.
And you get a bunch of cards for doing so, which are very useful. Like it was great. Like it was fantastic. But that whole entirety felt great. Just like it's a free game, had a lot of fun with it. You got some of my money, but it was for like a good value. Cheers, great. Go for it. Keep going.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. Come
stepping
on.
In the same game, right? Like
why can't they just give you good Star Wars games? It's just like, why is it always so problematic?
It was bad enough with like pre-order bonuses, right? And I think we've talked about that in a previous show.
Oh, yeah.
Well, for those that don't pre-order, now you got they're into the game earlier. They're got a new weapon that you don't have or can ever get. And it's just like, well, now you're unbalanced. The game is supposed to be, okay, well, they can pay for whatever they want, but somehow it's still balanced. It's still equal. And if it's not, then I'm not going to play. Like, I'm not going to buy your game. Why would I? And for those that want to spend their money, by all means, go for it.
You play. I thought it was for your kids.
Well, yeah, I need to get them up to those levels. Come on.
Yeah, of course. Good dad. Good dad. everybody, that will do it for us this week. If you'd like to purchase some of our loot crates, you can go to our website.
What episode you're going to get this done? Trevor emoji, all right.
25, oh. New dad coasters, oh, I don't need these. But you can find us at our website at newdadgaming.com. We do this show weekly. You can rate some, you can find us on iTunes as well as Google Play. I completely messed up the order. But weekly show, you can find this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, anywhere else that you find or find your podcast. You can reach out to us from that website just mentioned. There are no loot crates, I assure you. Newdadgaming.com. We'd love to hear from you with show ideas, questions, anything else you'd like to send in. As always, if you'd like to rate, subscribe, and send it along, we'd much appreciate it, especially to new dads who game. And until next week, my name is Trevor, and I have a 2-year-old and another on the way.
I'm Jeff. I have a 16.5-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Very good. Talk soon.
See ya.
And I kind of want to have a loot crate now. I kind of want to sell.
You're expecting one in August, September, aren't you?
Yeah. But as opposed to like any sort of benefits, it's just a massive impediment. Not all the, your heart grew 2 sizes. Your bank account is now in half. I'll take it.